We have more Inside Wealth and Out right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW San Francisco.
All right, you people out there. We have Steve Behrman with us, who is, among other things, an incredibly funny guy and has great insights into life and has an alter ego called Swami Beyonananda. So we thought it'd be kind of fun and a little different for this Sunday morning of ours to invite the Swami in, you know, on his flying carpet, call him on the carpet a little bit and see what's going on. So Swami, welcome to Inside Wealth.
Well, I'm glad to be Inside Wealth. I've been outside wealth quite a bit.
And how does that feel?
Well, it feels like a near-death experience. That's what it feels like.
Well, let's get to a near-life experience.
Okay, good.
So what does the Swami stand for here? How do you become Swami Beyonananda?
How did
that happen?
Well, this was a one-of-a-time, of-a-kind operation that happened to me. And I woke up one morning and I was Swami Beyonananda. Actually, as a child, I would go into yoga poses spontaneously. Just like that. And actually, when I was a Boy Scout, I got to tie myself into 12 different knots. I was very talented that way.
Okay.
So I started out very, very young. And I have achieved full realization, meaning I realized that I'm a fool.
Ah, full realization. Very
That's
good.
Right.
Very good. Yeah, well, I think if all of us kind of realized our own foolish nature a little bit, we'd probably enjoy life a little bit more because some of us may actually take ourselves seriously.
Yes, yes, yes. That is called humoroids.
Ah, humeroids.
Yes,
yeah.
A very bad problem. You know, in fact, actually, humeroids is an enlargement of the onus where you feel so much responsibility that your only thing you're ever able to pass is heavy judgments.
Ooh.
Yeah, we don't like that. So that's why I recommend a good laxative twice a day to keep you laughing.
A laxative? A laxative.
Yes, thank you.
A laxative.
Yes, it cures irregular hilarity. That is a big problem. We need to laugh more.
And make it regular.
And make it a regular thing. Because I'll tell you why. You know, these are very, very serious times that we're living in. Yes?
Absolutely.
And so the best way to overcome gravity is with levity.
Mmm. You hear that, everybody? Gravity, overcoming gravity through levity. I like it. I like it.
And you know, happiness is an inside job.
Yes, it is.
It's an inside job. You want to bring it with you everywhere you go. So because I don't think we are here to earn God's love. We are here to spend it. And that is what I call supply-side spirituality.
Ah, I like it.
When it comes to laughter, be more supplying and less demanding.
Swami, you got something going on over here.
Well, I don't know. It's all channeled, you know.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, speak softly and carry a big shtick, right?
A very big shtick.
So you're talking about laughter as really being one. I mean, part of it is actually a part of a joke here, people, as you know, on one level. It is about bringing laughter to our lives. On the other hand, this is actually laughing a serious business.
Laughter is very serious business. Yes, it is. In fact, I take my laughter very, very seriously. And people should, because it is one of the keys to happiness. You can actually make yourself happier by laughing, even if you're laughing at nothing. Did you know that? There was a scientific experiment. This proves it to me. They took a group of college students. They put them in a room with really hilarious comedy videos, okay? They took another group of college students, put them in another room, made that second group memorize Croatian parables. And every time they made a mistake, they gave them an electric shock. And the results were conclusive. The ones watching the comedy had more fun.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is the extent that scientists will go to prove anything.
That's right.
It kind of makes you wonder sometimes.
Well, you know, it's like when Norman Cousins, you know, he was a writer. He cured himself of a serious illness by checking into a hotel room with Marx Brothers movies and candid camera reruns. And so after he got well, the medical establishment decided they are going to study the healing power of laughter. And that's kind of like, well, it works in practice, but does it work in theory?
Well, the funny thing about scientists, as you know, they like to have it proven over and over and over again.
Well, that's right. It's a good business. You know, more study is needed.
So tell me, Swami, what do you see of the landscape that we're in here today, either economically or politically?
Well, economically, we've actually we've passed an unfortunate milestone that went unreported. The dollar is now actually worth slightly less than a dollar in monopoly money. And the latest Greenspan report suggests that the average American family doesn't have enough green to spend the average month. So that is the bad news. But the good news is that there will always be wonderful things to do and very important and great talent to do that. And so we need to find the means of exchange so that more things can be done for more people. And we generate real wealth by doing real things.
You know, there are a lot of economists out there, people who are, in fact, scientists of that dismal science known as economics, who say the only way for our world to actually prosper is to have the disenfranchised, the lower 1 to 2 billion people, have their standard of living raised.
Exactly. From the bottom up, from the grassroots up, that is how we do it. We regrow the garden from the grassroots up and have a heaven of a time doing it. That's why we're here, I believe.
And frankly, for my money, it wouldn't be so bad if we pulled out that major weed that's in the middle.
Oh, big fat weed. It is called killing people, right?
Well, I was going to call it the story of original sin.
Well, frankly, that's true. That is a very big weed. And unfortunately, in our world, we have original debt because money is coined as debt. And so everybody who comes into the world, they come into the world owing money that somehow, somewhere in the future, they will have to borrow money to repay. And this is why, you know, you may not agree with me, but I happen to believe that the proof is in the pudding as far as trickle-down economics. And they call it trickle-down because on the bottom, we have peons.
And I think we all know that it's rather, you know, we'd rather be pissed off than pissed on.
That's right.
So to speak.
And that is what causes the uprisings, and uprisings can lead to downfalls.
We are here with Swami Biyanananda, and we're going to switch turbines a little bit, if you don't mind, and come back to Steve Behrman here, who is the originator and one of the personalities inside that very interesting body of his. I won't get into that detail. But in any event, coming back to Steve for a moment, because in addition to you're having a hilarious guy inside of you, there's also a very serious side in terms of your dedication to our evolution and expanding consciousness, if for no other reason that you just want more people to enjoy life on this planet.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. I think that we have so much potential here, and we've been inside this box. And the project I'm most excited about, the serious quote-unquote book that I'm writing, is a book with Bruce Lipton, who is a cellular biologist and author of Biology of Belief, best-selling book. And our book is called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future Now. And it weaves together science, spirit, the body politic, economics, of course, all on the foundation of biological science, fractal mathematics, and quantum physics. And oddly enough, what science is saying is what the ancient spiritual teachings have been telling us all along, which is essentially we're all in this together. And that we are about to, we're on the threshold. If we hold our thresh long enough, we're on the threshold of evolving to the point where we understand that just as our bodies, our body is a community of 50 trillion cells, and they all figure out how to work together. You know, you don't see the liver invading the pancreas, demanding the islets of Langerhans as its own. You don't see that. It's very rare. And so as we realize that we are a organism of 6.5 billion human beings in the body of humanity, and what's good for one is good for all, and that each of us can have a tremendous amount of freedom and a tremendous amount of connection simultaneously. And that's the future of humanity. That's the evolutionary future of humanity, and we're standing right on the brink right now.
Again, we are here with Steve Behrman, and that point, which is so wonderful that it's being actually borne out through scientific foundation. So it's not simply a matter of, yeah, my God's better than your God, or my spiritual belief is better than yours, or whatever it happens to be, which ultimately separates us into us and them, whoever they are, and whoever we are, and instead place our attention on our one humanity, on our interconnectedness, on our scientific, cellular, and energetic structures, which are, in fact, completely interwoven and interrelated, possibly no different than fingers on a hand.
Yep, and people are realizing this and waking up to this, and the predominant culture hasn't figured that out yet. So the connections are not apparent. There's a wonderful metaphor, living metaphor, called the mycelium. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Paul Stamets. He would be somebody interesting to have on your show. And he is the mushroom guy. We call him a fungi, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But he's figured out that these communities of mushrooms under the ground that we don't see is this network of mycelia. And what these organisms do is they digest the bad stuff and produce nourishment. And we see the mushrooms popping up. But the mycelium have been used to digest oil spills and other toxicity. And it's a metaphor for where we are right now, that we are connecting, we are interlinking. Everybody that you have on your show that is resonant with this idea that we're all in this together and we can create abundant wealth for everybody.
Yes.
It's everybody's, you know?
Yes.
And so we pop out of this old story and we begin to design the new story.
In fact, the greatest wealth is truly when we all have it. So it's not simply about Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, whoever it is, marshaling their billions of dollars. Congratulations, guys. You've done a great job. But it's really an opportunity to expand this base so that we can all just enjoy the beauty and magnificence of what this world has to offer if we give ourselves permission and the willingness to see it.
And one of the great things about this book, working with Bruce Lipton, is we dismantle four major myth perceptions, we call them, that our society is based on, that are not true. For example, only matter matters, that only the material world is important. Number two, survival of the fittest. Number three, it's in the genes. No, actually, it's in the field. It's in the environment. And number four, that evolution is a random process. All four of those beliefs have been disproved by science. And it just, like those stars that have burned out that we still see, hasn't registered on our cultural radar yet. And so we're hoping that this book will create the foundation for a new story.
Well, the bottom line here is, you want to talk about a new story, let's talk about Oprah for a moment. This is something that's real and grounded, everybody. You know, she had this guy Eckhart Tolle on. You know, his initials are E.T. Take it for what you will. But be that as it may, he's got this book called, he had a book called The Power of Now. That was then, right, The Power of Then. And now he's talking about a book called The New Earth, which, by the way, with Oprah's support and promotion, has led to over 3.5 million books being sold in just about record time, over 500,000 people taking a webinar on the web specifically about creating a new world, a new earth, based on our oneness, based on the fact that ultimately, beyond our skin and bones, beyond all the structures of our society, we are simply energetic consciousness. And to the extent that we are aware of that, we begin to literally wake up laughing a bit more and not take ourselves and our egos and our personalities and all the fears that any of us have about not being either smart enough or good enough or lovable enough or having enough money or something, whatever the not enough is, and just letting go of it as just being an old story, an old personality that in fact isn't even true, except to the extent that you believe that it is.
That's right. And that's why our beliefs, so many of our beliefs are invisible. They're like air to birds and water to fish. We don't see them. We assume that that's reality, but it's a filter. And so when we start to see that our beliefs are just beliefs, our stories are just stories, then we can go, well, let's see, does that story serve me? Or can I write a different story? And you begin to find out, well, that's not even true.
Well, you know, there is a direct link between our beliefs and the world that has been created. In fact, one could make the cogent case for everything that exists in the material world in this very moment was somebody's belief or somebody's dream that shows up as a business or that shows up as a skyscraper or that shows up as a political economic system. So there is a direct correlation between our beliefs and the structures in the material world. And now it's simply an opportunity, as there is in every moment, to have a new set of beliefs that would create, in fact, a new material world, too.
Right. And there we have it. And that's exactly what we're up to. And in a sense that we're a lot of people are up to that same thing, working in different domains. And metaphorically, it's like the caterpillar turning into the butterfly, that the imaginal cells inside the cocoon, the new butterfly cells, At first, they're isolated, but they begin to communicate with one another. They cluster together, and at some point, there is a shift. There's a tipping point that's reached, and all of a sudden, we're a butterfly now. Same DNA. The caterpillar and butterfly have the same DNA. It's simply different programming.
So everybody out there, all you butterflies in the world, and even if you think you're a caterpillar right now and you're looking at the crawling along here and thinking you're going to be squashed or something, or you're trying to gorge yourself into oblivion, which is typically what caterpillars do anyway, there's really, really good news here. The butterfly is a butterfly, whether the caterpillar realizes it or not, and in fact, cannot be denied. So, happily ever after. Steve Behrman, Swami Beyondananda, and all the other personalities you have in there we haven't gotten to today, thank you so much for showing up.
Thank you. Thank you for having this show and broadcasting it. It's been a pleasure.
We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW 910 AM San Francisco.